Hallelujah. Can you rise on your feet and go to five people at least and wish them Merry Christmas with a smile? Rise from your seat, go around five people at least and wish them a Merry Christmas. Move from where you are seated, go around and wish somebody a Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. This will not be your last Christmas. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I said this will not be your last Christmas. If the Lord Jesus tarries, this will not be our last Christmas. In the mighty name of Jesus, we shall celebrate many, many, many years of Christmases. In Jesus' mighty name, we and our children, we and our families, amen and amen. Please be seated. I'm going to try not to take our time this morning. Okay. Throughout the week, I've been meditating and meditating in my spirit, man, that Lord, what would you want me to share with the people of God? You know, Christmas, the Christmas message is a message that people have taken, like, well, it's Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. Oh, we have slogans, it's the reason for the season. And the reason for the season has no impact in our lives, has no impact in our decision. So I was like, Lord, please give me a word that will center around Christmas, but will not be a message as usual. And that's what I have to give to us this morning. I've titled it, Served to the World. Served to the world. Served to the world. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. She brought forth our firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Spirit of a living God, I submit my mind, my totality to you. Breathe upon your word. Let this word come to life. Give this word meaning in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. First and foremost, he says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son, capital S-O-N in your Bible, is given. The child born signifies the humanity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The son given signifies the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman like any other child, except for the fact that it was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit. But because he was born by a woman, that makes him human. But then that scripture was a prophetic word that says, yes, he was born, but he is given for a purpose. Is somebody following me? No wonder the Bible says, the common scripture we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God loved you and I so much, we're in chaos, that God gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a gift to you. It's a gift to me. A gift for deliverance. A gift for freedom. A gift to make life meaningful. Without him being born, without him being given, he's being given is his crucifixion, or his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary. Without him being given, our lives has no meaning. It is not what you have that gives meaning to your life. It is not where you live that gives meaning to your life. It is not who you know in terms of human beings that gives meaning to your life. It is not the house where you were born that gives meaning to your life. Your life has no meaning if Christ is not relevant in your life. Think about it. You are stuck. You have a breakdown on a high road, and there is no help. And suddenly somebody came past by and stopped for you. If he couldn't fix your car, picks you up, gives you a ride, and takes you to the nearest place to your destination where you can get help. That is a mighty intervention, especially when you are breakdown in a road where you look to your right, you look to your left, it's all wilderness. No sign of life. And somebody shows up. How do you appreciate that person? That person becomes meaningful in your life. That's what Jesus did. He came at a time when the world was helpless, when the world had no hope. He showed up. Not only did he give us a ride, he fixed our lives. Can somebody say good amen? Amen. Let me move on. Luke 2:7, I read earlier. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. I have news flash. From the time God decided to come as Jesus Christ to die, he knew where he was going to be born. Micah 5 verse 2 said it. He knew where he was going to be born. And he knew how he was going to be born. He knew where he was going to be laid. He knew that there would be no room in the inn. It did not happen by accident. Hello, somebody. Because nothing catches God unawares. Everything God does is done deliberately. Can somebody hear me this morning? Everything God does is done deliberately. Jesus was born deliberately in a manger. And I began to ask questions. What is a manger? I remember in my former church, where I was a pastor in GIWC in London, we had a big room, a meeting room that we called the manger. I'm like, Lord, what is a manger? Then I went into the dictionary. I went to check Webster for the definition of a manger. And Webster said, a manger is like a trough. A trough where animals come to feed, where they put their food or where they put their water. If you have seen farmers before, you see the herd of cows. In those days, there were sheep, the red sheep. Their heads are out and they are feeding them. They are feeding from something in front of them. That thing is what is called a trough. And that is the manger. Then I'm like, he was laid in that trough where livestock eats. He was synonymous with the food of the sheep, laid in a manger, synonymous with the food of the sheep. God served him in the trough to mankind. He's the shepherd to the sheep. The sheep who were there present where he was born was a representation of you and I. Is somebody following me? Oh my God. Is somebody following me? Those sheep were a representation of you and I. And Jesus was laid in one of the troughs as if he was hay, as if he was food for those sheep. But actually, he is food for you and I. God served him to the world so that we can feed on him. No, you're not getting it. I say you're not getting it. God gave Jesus so that you and I can do what? We can feed on him. Everything Jehovah God does is with significance. The significance of the manger. The manger was a plate to the world where he was served. And then the angels went to announce his birth. According to Luke chapter 2, from verse 7, they went to announce his birth. At what time? They announced his birth in the night. To who? When everybody was sleeping, the chief shepherd has been born. So he had to be announced to other shepherds. Why to the shepherds? Why was he announced to shepherds? He was announced to the shepherds because, listen, let me read this. Luke 2, I read from verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds. What does he say they were doing? What does it mean to abide? They lived there. Why were they living there? They lived there because of their sheep. Hallelujah. When the sheep was sleeping, those shepherds can't sleep because they don't want any wild animal to come and feed on their sheep. While everybody was sleeping, those shepherds were awake. Hallelujah. No wonder he that keepeth us, he does not sleep. Neither does he slumber. Somebody shout hallelujah. He came to the people who were synonymous with his heart. He was announced to the people who were synonymous to his purpose. They were living out in the fields. New King James Version says, keeping watch. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The good tidings of great joy to all people was not announced to the government, was not announced to rich and mighty people. Hallelujah. But for shepherds, people who have a good heart, people who are ready to take risk. Amen. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So wrapped in clothes, served to the world. These shepherds, they feed their flock with physical food, but the great shepherd, the one who stood in John chapter 10, he said, I am the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. The good shepherd. The normal shepherd feeds their flock with physical food, but this one has come to feed us with spiritual food. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John chapter 6, hold on, people. Am I speaking over your head? Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. He says in John chapter 6 and verse 63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits little. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. John 21, 15 to 17 says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than food? What kind of a shepherd are you going to be? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. When he was born in the manger. Now he's about to go. Now he's about to be taken up. He's about to ascend to heaven in the presence of the disciples. And what he's concerned about is the feeding of his sheep. When he came, he was served. When he was living, he still wanted to be served. Ah, maybe I need to find another church. Oh, Lord. Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Take care of the ones for whom I came. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then after that, he took off because he has entrusted the truth and revelation unto Peter. Let me educate us a little bit. When Jesus asked his disciples and said, who do people say I am? Some said you are Elijah. Some said you are this. Okay, you guys, you've been with me for a while. Who do you say that I am? Listen to me. If you say you are a child of God, if you say you are following Jesus Christ, and you don't know who he is, you are none of his. Peter rose up and said, I know. Okay, who am I? You are the Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. And Jesus was like, whoa! Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. But my Father, who is in heaven, upon this truth, I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. But some ignorant people thought he said he built his church on Peter. No. He can't build his church on a human being. He built his church on the truth, the revelation that Peter shared. That you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. That's upon the truth which he built his church. Churches are not built on human beings. The government cannot be on any human shoulder. It can only be on the shoulder of him that was served to the world. Somebody say, I hear. Are you sure you're hearing? Hallelujah. So as he spoke to Peter, it signifies the continuance of his plan, the continuance of his purpose for mankind. Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and Syrophoenicians, anyone. He already told Peter in Acts 10, when Peter saw that vision, and Peter said, no, I can't eat any unclean thing. And he said, whatever I've called clean is clean. Eat, kill and eat. Hallelujah. Why? Because he came to feed us with himself. Let me give you a couple of scriptures more that you'll find in your bulletin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Are you ready for this? John chapter 6, verse 53 to 58. Then Jesus said to them, watch this. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Does that buttress my point? Does that conclude my point? Does that say he came to serve himself? That if you don't eat me, if you don't eat my flesh, my broken body, and drink my blood, he says you are not part of me. If you don't believe in the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you don't believe that his flesh was pierced and hung between heaven and earth, which is the reason why he came, to carry our sins upon himself. If you don't believe that his blood was shed for the propitiation of our sins, he says you have no part of him. You may live here on earth, but you have no life in the afterlife. You may live here in America, but you have no life in eternity. Except you eat it. That's what he said. Most assuredly. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, Somebody say he came to serve himself. He came to serve himself. He came to serve himself to me. He said, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me. Hello, somebody. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. Today is not a ceremony. Praise the Lord. It's a day of life reflection. It's a day of decision. It's a day to decide if you are going to feast on him. When Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 6, the Bible says many went back. That this man, is he out of his mind? Does he think we are cannibals? Because all their mind is carnal. They did not understand. Who is Jesus? He said, I am the bread of life. What do you do with bread? I am the bread of life. The Bible says is the word from the beginning, the word that was with God. Without him was nothing made that was made. John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 5. He says, the word I speak to you, they are life. He's asking us, because himself is the word today. He's asking us to feed on the word. He left Peter. He said, feed my sheep. What did he say feed the sheep with? Feed the sheep with the word. He himself is the word. The word became what? Flesh. John chapter 1. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. It the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may clap for Jesus. You may call Jesus. You may do everything Jesus, but you must feed on Jesus. Somebody say amen. If you don't feed on the word of God, he said, you are none of this. This is the reason why he was born. That's why he was not born and placed in a court. Don't mind all those pictures you always see with religious people. They make the manger look like a baby court. Because his birth came suddenly. Huh? In those days, there were no doctors. So we check, you have gone for antenatal. When is your EDD? There was nothing like that. They went to Bethlehem, Ephrathah. They went for census. They didn't go there to birth him. But the Bible had already predicted. Micah said it. Micah 5:2. Can we project Micah 5:2? Micah 5:2. I'll leave you in a minute. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. And if you read Matthew, Luke, you will find details of how Jesus, because Augustus Caesar said they should perform census. For short of words, sometimes grammar fails me.
So everybody needs to go to his hometown for the census. So they went to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Judah, the city of David, because Joseph was from Bethlehem. And Jesus was born in the order of David. Hallelujah. So he says, until you eat his flesh. He says, this is the bread. I'm still reading John 6 from verse 53 now. I'm reading 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread shall live forever. That is why before he left with his disciples, he gathered them together. What we call the Last Supper. The Bible says he took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he says, this is my body broken for you. He says, eat in remembrance of me. If you are a Christian, you can't be a Christian by name. And you cannot be born a Christian. You have to become one by feeding on Jesus, by feeding on the word. Because he was served to you and served to me. Matthew 1:21 says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came, to save us from our sins, to save us from iniquity. I don't fool myself that everybody that comes to church listens to the word or imbibes the word. I was telling the workers this morning, I said, if you have been hearing the word and you are not appropriating it, you are not different from somebody who have not heard it. Did somebody hear me? Huh? I know some people will be like, this one of these Pastor Carlsef is too much. He's a fanatic. Let me ask you a question. What did you do to keep yourself alive? What did you do to wake yourself up this morning? What gives you the boldness that you have tomorrow? All those things I've said, they are not in the hands of any human being. They are only in the hands of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating Christmas today. In another 1 week, we'll be celebrating and say, Happy New Year, everybody, Happy New Year. Have you started to think how your life is going to make a difference? Because this word you are hearing today is to prepare you for tomorrow. So that you begin to develop hunger for the body of Christ. Hunger for the word of God. Leave the mundane aside. God loves the world, but he chose his people. And the people who deliberately chooses him. People who choose to make him their Lord and their Savior. People who are not willing to be game players. Because God doesn't play games.
The God we serve is serious. The world is getting more wicked and wicked by the day, brethren. And if I may tell you and announce to you, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Only in him will the righteous run and be saved. There is no safety anywhere. Nuclear weapons does not save anybody. The power of America does not save anybody. Only the power of Jesus. Except the Lord watch the city, the watchmen watch in vain. Whose side are you going to be on? What are you hungry for? You better change your hunger today. Change your hunger and be hungry for righteousness and be hungry for the word of God. Let me tell you something. This is for somebody here. What you are looking for, what you are looking for in life, no human being can give you. Only Jesus. That's why he came to serve himself. Are you going to receive him today? Are you going to receive him today? Are you going to say, Lord Jesus, I have not been feeding well. I want to begin to feed. I want to begin to feed. Give me another grace. Give me another opportunity. I want you to rise up on your feet. Jesus came to give himself a ransom for many. He came to pay the debt that you and I can never pay.